Well, boys and girls, again, as I talk to you today, I'm going to be showing pictures of ways in which the people of grace help others. And why don't you, on your worship sheets, if you have those, just jot down some of the pictures and some of the ways in which we help people through the years. Well, again, our theme this stewardship year is Believe in Grace. Because our church has a long history of showing that we do believe in God's grace, and we believe in this place, Grace Lutheran Church. It goes back to the very first days of our congregation. This picture is from 1965 of the first members of Grace, and Debbie Becker is the only one here today who probably remembers something like this, because she's one of our few charter members still here, where the members of the congregation, they gathered to lay those delightful asbestos tiles in the first worship area. For the first 10 years of this church, the congregation worshiped in the fellowship hall right next door to us. They also had Sunday school in that area, and I hope you will notice the delightfully comfortable metal chairs on which they sat. And I heard Pastor Jerry normally preached like 45 minutes a Sunday, so it took. But they, 50 years ago, believed in grace. In 1974, the members of this church declared that they believe in grace when they raised the money to build our new worship center. They gathered, they did this work for us 45 years ago. And show of hands, how many of you remember this? The old door in the worship center with the red carpeting that went halfway up the walls and with the dark, dark ceilings. And the center aisle, the aisles were also 18 inches steeper. And I've heard stories of runaway brides going down the aisles who just kind of lost it. And then in 1996, again, before many of us, the congregation raised the money to refinish. They got rid of the carpeting. But to refinish this beautiful area. And we now, today, we celebrate the beautiful worship services we have at Grace, thanks to all who have gone before us and done the work of the gospel because they believe in grace. And many of us were here just a few years ago when we had our own Grow in Grace campaign, and we raised all that money, and we built the beautiful new addition to our church because we, too, declared that we believe in grace, not just for the present, but for the future. But a church is not the building. The church is the people. And the people of grace through the years have also declared that we believe in grace. The 800 or so members of our congregation, we say that, yes, we believe in God's grace that is alive here and in this place. And we show God's grace in so many different ways in which we live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope we all appreciate how fortunate we are here at Grace Lutheran Church to have a member of our church who is a missionary. You know, we talk about Missionary Meg all the time, the work of the Circle of Empowerment all the time, but how fortunate we are that we have one of our own who is a missionary in Nicaragua, and we have the privilege of working with Meg in the Circle of Empowerment to aid in that work, not to help the people of Nicaragua, but to help the people of Nicaragua help themselves. This photo was just from our mission trip a couple of years ago. You can see Joan Tuttle, our assistant minister today, Mark Kaler, working with women from the community of Monsados, and they are painting the local school building because we went with them to work with them as they work to improve their community. Grace is the largest single supporter of this work of the Circle of Empowerment. And it touches the lives of so many people. My wife, Samantha, and I had the privilege of going on the mission trip in 2018. This is my favorite picture from that mission trip. That's Samantha. And Samantha speaks Spanish, but when we got down there, she was very hesitant to use her Spanish. But after about 2 days, she was teaching preschool. This picture was taken at the school, which is right next to the Pacific Ocean. And while some of us painted Samantha and a couple of others, they spent the afternoon playing with the kids. And I love this moment when the kids took Samantha by the hand, they led her down to the Pacific Ocean, they pushed her in, and they played with her. And that was such an important moment in Samantha's life. Such a great faith moment. And that's why we're hoping to send a group down again next year. And Samantha and Karen and I, we're going again. And I hope some of you will consider joining us. This is important work that says we believe in grace. We believe in grace in so many other ways. Back in February, we sent a group down to Florida to work with Thrivent Builds and Habitat for Humanity to build homes for those whose homes were destroyed by Hurricane Irma in 2017. And this is our group, but everyone else was there going like this because Habitat's motto is that Habitat doesn't give a hand out, it gives a hand up. And the members of our group, they volunteered to put siding on new homes. They volunteered to put the roofs on the new homes, doing so many different things, saying, we believe in God's grace, and we plan to send another mission group in 2021. And I hope you will consider being part of that. We believe in grace in the work of educating, training disciples of Jesus Christ. And how fortunate we are to have a church where that is central, a central priority. Our Vacation Bible School program is one of our great ways in which we reach out to the community. 60% of the kids who come to VBS here at Grace don't go to Grace. What a wonderful opportunity that is for us, the congregation, to let others in our neighborhoods, in our community, know about the work of Jesus Christ that goes on here. And at a time when many churches don't have kids, we had 160 kids at Vacation Bible School this year, the most ever. 80 volunteers here, the most ever. What a great sign for a healthy congregation working and building for the future. We believe in grace in worship. This is the picture from our pool party worship back in July. On a Sunday morning, we had church here, we had church at the pool, and we had a lot more people at the pool than we had at church that Sunday. But it's just one of the many ways in which we declare we believe in God's grace. We declare this in all the different ways in which we reach out to help others. Again, our congregation, we're involved in the Family Promise program that houses homeless families. That's coming up in just a couple of weeks. The Adult Literacy Center right here at Grace helps people learn English as a second language. Our work with family sharing right here in town. And back last month on God's Work, Our Hands Day, we had our biggest single program ever when we had over 40 members gather to package meals for Rise Against Hunger. And the volunteers from Grace spent the afternoon, they packaged 10,160 meals that day. And we as a congregation, we paid the cost through individual donations and donations from the church, which came from your offerings, the $3,700 to do this. And we want to do this again, but next time we do Rise Against Hunger, we want to invite other churches, members of the community, and instead of packaging 10,000 meals, we're going to shoot for 20, 30,000 meals. Because we are constantly seeking newer, more creative, innovative ways in which we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. In the passage we heard today from Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing from a Roman prison, says to these Christians, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in my prayers for every one of you. Paul knew that the glory of the gospel is believers working together in the name of Jesus Christ. And that work continues today. Because Paul gave thanks because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I hope we realize we today continue the work of the church begun 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul and Christians like those Christians in the ancient city of Philippi. We continue to work today to give our church a bright future in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul says later in that verse, I am confident in this, that the one began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. That work continues, and it will never end, folks, until Jesus Christ returns. This is the ongoing work we have as followers of Jesus Christ. And Paul uses a lot of wonderful words in those verses. He talks about thanks. He gave thanks for the Philippian Christians for all they did. We continue today to give thanks to everyone who rolls up their sleeves, who opens their wallets, who shares the love of Jesus Christ to love one another. Paul remembered. He remembered who they were, because in the church we must constantly remember. If we forget who we are, if we forget what God has done for us, our faith shrivels and dies, and we don't do the work of the church. And even though Paul was separated from the Philippian Christians by hundreds of miles, he's probably in prison in Ephesus, and he has prison bars between himself and them, he still remembers them, and he remembers them by praying. Prayer was so central to the Apostle Paul. Prayer is so central to us because when we pray, friends, we declare that God's worth talking to. When we pray, we say, it is important for me, Lord, to hold other people up to you. When we pray, we say, I want to have an intimate relationship with you, God. Paul held up sharing because the work Paul did was not Paul alone. It was the work done by all Christians. We as Christians are a community of believers who together share in the work of the gospel. And Paul declares that he works for completion. The goal for the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago, our goal today is to continue the work of the church until God says it is time and Christ comes again. And until that day, which none of us knows when it will be, we are called to continue to work faithfully and joyfully because we declare that we believe in grace. And now when it comes to the time of talking about the part of the work of the church which involves our money, we need to remember that we continue by our offerings to declare that we do believe in grace. Because the church runs on faith, and the church is run by people, but money is also a very important part of the church. And there is absolutely nothing wrong or unbiblical about talking about that. A lot of my time as pastor is involved with money. Just as I shared last week in my sermon, how many of you thought about money in your own households and in your own lives this week? But as we talk about money, we also declare that we believe in grace. This growing grace, this was one of the logos we used during our capital fund appeal in 2013 and 14. It's been almost 6 years since we started that, folks. This is one of the things that held us up and encouraged us as we move forward. And I want to hold up the amazing generosity of this congregation over these last years. You, the people of grace, gave $975,000 extra for our capital fund appeal for the building of our new facility. Over the last number of years, you have increased your regular offerings, your Sunday morning offerings, by almost $100,000. That is a lot of generosity. And those of us who were here during those days, we shared in that work. But the work is not done. We now need to strive to complete the work which we have done. And that is what is at the heart of this year's stewardship program. When you leave church today, you're going to pick up your packets, and in your packets, you're going to find a brochure. And in that brochure is this little giving chart, which shows breaking down for how much the members of Grace give by month, no names, just numbers. It shows us how many of our members give how much per month, and for us to move forward to do what we want to do, how those numbers need to change. As you can see, those who give between less than $50 or more, we need to have fewer of those and more people who give more. That's the goal of what we are asking. And in your packets, you will also find a letter from your pastors asking you to consider an offering for 2020 between a set range per year, which also broken down per month. That is our invitation and our challenge as a congregation to increase our giving to meet the needs we have. If you were around for our Growing Grace campaign, remember these little magnets we had? These little prayer magnets? For 3 weeks, each one of us, we were encouraged to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, what would you do through me to accomplish your will for Grace Lutheran Church? Those magnets were everywhere. We still have them around the church as well. We were called 6 years ago to ask, Lord, what will you do through me to accomplish your will? And I ask each one of us to consider the same thing as we move into 2020. Because our goal for next year is to cut, if not get rid of, the deficit we have. Now again, if you weren't here last week, I explained, if you're not aware of what's going on in our church, we this year have planned a $40,000 deficit because the giving, even though it's increased a lot over the last few years, it hasn't quite risen to the level where it fully meets all of our needs with our new building and everything else. And so we wisely set money aside to cover what we knew would be a number of years of deficit budgets until our giving grows to where we fully fund everything. Our goal for this year is to work to reduce, if not eliminate, that deficit so that we can complete the work we began with our Grow and Grace campaign, so that we can set the stage for a bright future for our congregation, and not just for us today, but for generations to come. In the gospel today, we heard about these women who followed Jesus, and they did something very specific. Luke in his gospel tells us that they provided for Jesus and the others out of their resources. These women bankrolled Jesus' ministry. He had no money. The Gospels tell us that. But these women, out of their generosity and out of their resources, they shared the money that helped feed Jesus and his disciples, pay for places for them to stay, give money to help those in need. And we today, we are still called to, out of our own resources, provide for the needs of the church. You and I, we are called to provide for the work and the needs of the church, because that's one of the great ways we declare, I believe in grace. And I'm going to call upon one of our members, Bill Barkey, right now to come up. And I've asked Bill because Bill shared something earlier this year that I'd like him to share with you. And Bill's done something. He and his wife, Kathy, have done something, which I'd like him to share as well.
Okay, good. Good morning, everyone. Earlier this year, I attended the annual budget. The annual budget meeting. And I have a couple of thoughts I would like to share with you in that regard. Pastor Paul brought up the importance that our contingency fund played in supporting our church's financial well-being. And I personally thought that was a key to sound fiscal practice and therefore challenged the membership to match our $1,000 donation to help build up this particular fund. It would help to pay back some of the funds we needed to use in the past. Finally, I encourage every member to do all they can to increase their giving for 2020 so that we as a congregation can do what we can to eliminate the deficit and put the church on solid foundation for the future. So we plan on giving another $1,000 again this year. I thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that very much. Again, Bill and Kathy, this year they gave an extra $1,000. Next year they're going to increase their giving by $1,000. I always share what Karen and I do. Karen and I discussed our offerings for next year, and we're going to increase our giving by $1,000 next year. And I encourage all of us to do all we can. You don't want to increase your giving, do you? I encourage all of us to do what we can so that we will be generous in the work of the church so we have a bright future. Again, Paul Philippians, he talks about all of us working together, all of us working for the joy and the sake of the gospel. And so, my friends, may we, as we pick up our packets, as we read through them, and I pray, as we pray about our gifts for next year, may we all truly share as generously as we can for the work of the gospel, not just now, but in the future. As one of your pastors, I thank you. I thank you for all you do now. I thank you for all you do. And I pray that God will lead Grace Lutheran Church into a bright and Christ-filled future. Amen.